Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your...
Hello, everybody.
Hello, how are you?
Good. 6 o'clock on the West Coast. Got another
8 o'clock in the middle.
2 hours before the sun goes down. Slight breeze. Got a cold Pepsi. Life is good.
I was going to say, life can't get easier than that.
That's it. But, yeah, I had a little experience on June 8th at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. As I was sitting at a table drinking a cup of coffee, I watched some people walk around my motorcycle a couple of times, looking at everything, you know, eyeballing real hard.
Right.
And passenger door opens, a little time to get in on that side, the other side gets in. Proceed to watch them back up and knock my bike over. As they're looking around to see who, if anybody saw them, start to inch forward. That's when I ran over there and hollered, no, you ain't going anywhere. You need to park the truck. As for license, registration, proof of insurance, I get a story about I don't have my license, something happened, I don't really remember the exact words. Pulls out a paper from the DMV, everything's starting to smell hinky. Then I'm looking at registration, 3 different names, the driver. Look at the insurance policy, lapses on the 6th, or actually 6-3, and try to give me the wrong policy number, try to give me... Lines of bullshit. Is there any way we can take care of this? I'll be a stand-up guy. All this bullshit. Nothing happens. I give it a few days. They're ignoring me. And he's one of those guys that likes to hide behind a text. I talk to him on the phone one time. I tell him what the damage is. I tell him. He ignores me after that. Threatens me with club people. Fucking... The lawyers, the motherfucker can't even afford insurance, but he can afford a lawyer. Go figure.
Right.
And So I talked to my attorney today. He told me, "Yeah, have at it. You can do whatever you want with that information." And basically, nothing can be done to you. So this is a... This guy's he's a real piece of work. More like a piece of shit. The chick that was with him had more balls. Yeah, the chick that was with him had more balls than he did. So I called the police. They show up. They know right away it could be a hostile situation. And they get all the information. Gets a ticket for no insurance. When I talked to him on the phone, he told me, "Oh, well, there's insurance on the truck now, but let me call him. I know for a fact if you buy the policy on Monday and something happens on Saturday, they're not gonna be responsible."
Right.
So everything goes... After that, everything goes south. Hiding behind text, won't answer the phone. "Oh, I'm a stand-up guy, all this bullshit. I want to take care of it." Sat in front of the cops. He did it. Sat in front of 2 witnesses. They saw him. They saw him try to drive off. So basically, I was going to front him out. I was going to tell everybody his name. what town he's in, all that stuff. But I'm going to hold off on that. I told him I was going to do this. And he basically told me I don't know who I'm fucking with. But
okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
Here comes the small little pea-sized balls.
Yeah. Like I said, the chick that was with him had more balls than me.
A lot of us do.
But he proceeds to tell me in a text that his attorney said, there's white paint on the pipes. There is no white paint on my pipe. Anybody that's seen pictures of my bike knows it's all black. There's no white anywhere on. Basically black and a little bit of chrome. Matte black. Pipes ceramic coated. Everything's matte black. Everything's powder coated.
Right.
And, you know, it's just, I called my insurance. I told them they're gonna take care of this and then go after him, which probably won't do no good. But, I still have the opportunity to sue him in court. I'm going to pursue that one. I can get my deductible back and little pain and suffering and everything else that comes with it. But, yeah. So if you're listening, you piece of shit, be a man. You can do what you said. I'll take care of this.
Like I said, most of them they're not men, they're little children.
Yeah.
Hardly anybody knows how to keep to their word these days, you know?
Yeah. But, no, I don't think so. Not at all. Not at all. Motherfucker couldn't, he looked like, see, here's the thing. You're driving somebody else's truck, you're responsible. Doesn't matter.
Well, yeah.
What happened?
And so is the owner of the vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to get a letter too. But, yeah, if I borrowed somebody's shit and I broke it, I'd fix it.
Well, yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah. So, whoever guessed 9974 is, I hope that's you. Because you have my business card and the numbers on the back. And if you want to air your dirty laundry, you pussy. Because between now and last night, if you grew a pair, let's see. Told me, I can't do this. I better not. I better watch out who I'm fucking with and all this bullshit. Anybody that knows me knows I don't hide from anybody.
Nope.
And I'm very easy to find because I'm not hiding.
You know, if there's a reason to hide, you make up all kinds of bullshit so nobody can find you. If you have nothing to hide, it's, hey, there I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm knocking on the door.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. But, yeah. I told him.
Yeah.
He'd be my opening monologue.
Well, you know, pieces of shit travel together. The only thing is they can't concoct a whole entire brain to come up with, you know, how to act like a person.
Yeah, because after that happened, the woman that was with him starts telling me that this and this and hey, it doesn't matter. He just walked around the bike 3 times.
Right.
He looked at everything. Did you see a mark on his bike? No response, because they know I was right. So we're looking at.
Oh, I would have been pissed. I'm not saying that you weren't. You know,
no.
I mean, you handled yourself accordingly, but in your mind. You know, I can only imagine where your mind was at, you know, because people don't understand what a paint job is or anything like that, or to put it in, you know, a shop, to get it fixed.
I got the friendly price. Could have been more.
Yeah, I know.
We're talking about the saddlebag, exhaust, underheader,
right.
black heat shields, the foot peg extensions, the pegs, the brake pedal, the footrest assembly on the right side, the short stem black mirror.
You know what this reminds me of?
I'm not done.
Sorry.
The lever, the grips, the shipping for the thunderheader, and all the powder coating that has to be redone. Comes to the tune of
powder coating isn't cheap.
No, $27.86.
Like I said, powder coating isn't cheap.
No.
You know, it's a paint job. You know.
No.
Everything that adds up to it.
And anybody that knows that bike gets used in photo shoots all over.
Right.
Well,
the thing is, even if you didn't have a friendly price, it's still going to be expensive. And it's still going to take time in a shop. You know?
Yeah.
People are just ignorant assholes.
In fact, it's that time of the year where I had to make an appointment to get it fixed.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, it's not like it was wintertime. Well, your wintertime is different than here. But meaning wintertime, you would have been able to get it in and out a lot faster, you know, than what you can right now. Right now, it's crazy, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I asked him, be a man. Be a man of your word. Do what you were going to do. Nada.
So maybe he doesn't understand what being a man is, obviously.
No, but...
Because being a man would step up to the plate right then and there. Yeah, this is what I did. Here's my information. Or, hey, I've got an issue or something, but, you know, I'll do whatever it takes to fix it. You know what I mean? That's being a man.
Yeah. As well, if you bring it by the shop, we'll give it to you back a brand new. No, nobody touches that bike but one guy. My mechanic. That's it. But, that was my adventure. Been dealing with that shit all week.
Well, like I said, that would piss me off to no end.
I don't know, what do you want to call it, backdoor muscle threatening me.
Yeah.
Were you scared?
I'm sorry. I had to make a joke on that because anybody that knows you knows different. God.
But, telling me that his attorney said that the white paint, you were parked in my stall. Geez, that's kind of funny because I have pictures of his truck on the white line where he was parked when I got there.
Yeah.
When he pulled out, pulled right back in where he was. So basically,
isn't it amazing how people think you're stupid?
Yeah. Really, when I started taking pictures of the bike, you can see right through the motor where the white line is. And then when I took a picture of the handlebar that he bent and the mirror that he broke and the hand grip got jammed up in the throttle housing, so we got to replace that also. But I took pictures of all that, and when I took the picture of the handlebars and everything else was broken, my bike is clearly in the middle of the stall.
Right.
And the two witnesses.
I've never seen a bike parked on the line or parked, you know, cockeyed in a spot. You know?
No. And the two witnesses already gave their statements to my attorney. And basically, he told me the first thing out of their mouths was, the guy did it. They looked around. They were going to drive away. So he got up and ran over there.
Well, they just concurred with your statement, which is what you needed, which wasn't an issue because, you know, you have nothing to hide.
Right.
you're not running and, you know, threatening people.
No.
Crazy ass moron.
Yeah. So I told him, I said, you might want to take that business card I gave you and go look at that website. And you'll see who all my true friends are. But enough on that. I gave that prick enough time. Let's see if he rebuttals.
Yep.
If he's got balls enough to fucking call me. Does call me, I'll meet him.
Pea-sized balls.
Yeah, I'll meet him. He can meet me at Bill's shop. That's neutral ground for everybody.
Yep.
That's Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside. I'm there very regularly. If I'm not there, just ask Bill. He'll call me and I'll show up.
Yep.
By myself.
Won't take you long to get there.
No, by myself. I don't need anybody with me.
No.
But, hello, Eunice.
Hey.
Hi, Eunice.
Hi, honey. How you doing?
Not too bad.
Being kind of professional, huh?
Who, me or him?
No, me with my photographs.
Oh, you know, you're doing a fantastic job. God bless you.
Well, thank you. Thank
you. You're welcome.
I says I have to stop being a baby, you know.
You're never a baby, but you're doing
and
a fantastic job.
Learn it on my own, you know.
Yep.
You got to be
proud
of me, Phil. You know, be proud of me. I'm getting to learn this phone real good now.
Good.
I got a new phone where I can take pictures and put them on Facebook, and I dug up some. I don't know if you got them today. I don't know if I got them on Facebook, but when I was young and tender, I put them on. You know, were they on, Noreen? Nara?
Yeah, they were on.
The one with the
photos.
Baby?
Huh? I like the photos that you had put on.
Oh, yeah. My young.
That's okay. I have one of my photos of me from 1975.
Well, the one with the baby was 41 years ago.
Yeah, I have. I have my Aunt Alice. My Aunt Alice just sent me a picture of from early 40s. A picture of my dad. And she was mad because somebody cut her out of the picture. But spitting image, my dad. Spitting image. Even the way I combed my hair when I was a kid.
Yeah.
He was short too.
Hmm. No, you know how back in the day you used to get it just above your ears, you know,
right.
Back and
there was a man
comb the right or left.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't meaning like you know he was short.
The haircut.
What are you like 5'9", right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I meant it, you know.
Did you see that other picture of the daughter in the gown?
I did.
Yeah. She is a copy of her mother, let me tell you.
Yeah,
did you,
that's how my girls are with me.
Have you talked to Brownsburger? Have you talked to Brownsburger?
I talked to him last week. He's supposed to get back to me this week. And I'll know Friday when they're going to do surgery, you know.
Uh-huh.
The nurse let my husband listen to my heart today. And you know how yours goes, boom, 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 boom. Mine goes, boom, shh, boom, shh.
Oh,
I got
so
one
it's got
boom.
A little wind. It's got a little airbag in it.
Yeah, like a wind tunnel, you know. Jesus Christ. So my husband says, well, what does that mean? She says, I think there's something wrong with her heart, you know, the valves.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll know Friday because I'm going to the heart doctor Friday and he'll let us know what they're going to do, you know. So.
What, do you need a bypass?
I don't know. It's something to do with the valves. I'm not sure. I'll know more Friday because he'll tell me.
Is it the valves or ventricles?
I think it's the valves.
Okay.
So will you give me an angioplasty or what?
She needs an enema in the valves.
Yes, right. That's what I mean. No, it's like one of the valves is leaking, you know?
Mm-hmm. You got to be careful.
Yeah, hey, be very careful.
No excitement.
I just can't. I can't get excited.
Yeah, no Saturday night specials until after 1 year healed and then recovered.
Yeah. We, Hermes and I had lunch with Peter, the undertaker that had the bomber, you know, the bomber from Boston.
Yeah.
He had it. So we had lunch with him. That Peter is so funny, honest to God, he's too much. Too much. They're going to be making a movie about that, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They've got in touch with Peter, and Peter even got a message from the Pope. Do you believe that?
Wow.
That story was worldwide for 2 days.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of worldwide.
Yeah. Hello.
Right now we're on in Brazil, the Ukraine, Russia, the Philippines, Malaysia, Latvia, Australia, the United Kingdom, Canada, as well as Poland, South Africa, France, Russia, Germany, Australia, as well as Ireland, Indonesia. We're all over tonight.
Oh, great.
And, Brazil and Denmark. New Zealand, pretty much everybody in the world just heard about my little escapade a week ago on Saturday.
Yeah. Cool. Well, yesterday was our 24th anniversary.
Oh, happy anniversary. Belated.
And he sent me some beautiful roses, which I put on Facebook. And we went out to supper last night, and I'll tell you, I had a stuffed lobster. I haven't had one in years. Stuffed with lobster.
Oh, wonderful.
Meat, scallops and shrimp. It was a pound and a half. I couldn't finish the whole thing.
Wow.
You know, and then we had little necks to start out with. I was so full, you had to roll me out of the car.
Like a roly-poly.
Yeah, like a roly-poly. I ate so much, you know.
Have you talked to Brownsburger?
No, I talked to him last week, and he was going to get back to me this week to push it, but we're hoping that will be out, you know, by this month, because July will be taken totally up, but it's definitely going to be passed, so.
Mm-hmm.
I said to him, yep, I've heard that before. Also,
yeah.
I said, I'll believe it when I see it. He says, no, Eunice, believe it. I says, okay, you know. So if I don't hear from him by Thursday, I'll give him a call. I got his private number. And believe me, I'll use it, you know.
Yeah, so I guess Hermes did his show in the morning. He's going to do it again tomorrow in the morning.
Oh, really? You did it today in the morning? Which one was that about?
California, his favorite place.
Did he? Yeah.
Who's that?
I have no idea.
That wasn't me. I'm in a quiet room.
So who's on other than us?
Say hello to Stacy.
Hey!
Oh, hello, my darling.
What's going on, people?
Nothing
much. Hey,
congratulations.
Day.
Congratulations on what?
Your goal.
My what?
Your goal.
I don't even know what you're talking about, and I don't know if I want it over the air, so...
No, I just... Congratulations. That's me to you.
Oh, okay.
But don't worry about it. Game 4. Game 4.
Okay.
Yeah, we got this.
Oh, okay. You guys got it.
Yeah, I don't understand why they choke in game three, but game four.
Well, you know what? I mean, you have to understand, and if you've watched each game, because, you know, Boston did the same thing. They had an off night. We had an off night. You know, it happens. You know, they've been running hard all season long, and they're both great teams. They both play hard. They're both, you know, fighting for the same thing. And
hey,
the only thing I can say, I won't bash anybody, you know, I won't do that. But, you know, they'll put it out on the ice and the better one will take it. That's how it is, you know.
Yeah.
I don't even watch it.
No. If you lose game four, I'll have to go start looking for an iron.
Yeah. Yep. You better.
But,
well, I mean, you know, the other day I put a post on my thing in regards to the hockey game. And, you know, I had one person go on there and, you know, bash on Boston. And I had another one that was a Boston fan that bashed on that one, you know. And I said, well, wait a minute. There is no bashing here, period. You know, you want to bash on your own page, do it on your own page. Don't do it on mine. You know, like I said, they're both good teams. And they got this far, you know. Everybody has an off day. That's all it was, you know. I mean, come on. The first game, it was three overtimes before they, you know, we got it. So, I mean, like I said, it's going to be a tough series.
What's the tally now?
Boston is up by a game of us.
Okay.
It would have been like, well, you know, and the last game we should have had two goals instead of the one, but the ref didn't see the second goal, you know, and they took that from us, you know, but that was the ref. That wasn't, you know. And then, which pissed me off, but, you know, what do you do?
So how many more games we got?
It's the best out of seven.
So how many more games we got?
Well, we play tomorrow night, I think.
Yep.
Is that
tomorrow.
Game three?
Yeah. Yep. And so that will be our fourth game, won't it?
Yeah.
Fourth game.
Got to win two more to win?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we would have to win three more to win.
Right.
Yeah, because they've only played two games, right?
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah, so tomorrow night is the third game, and then I think
probably
Saturday would be another game. Huh?
Yeah. Wednesday, it should be Wednesday and I think Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure, because last week they did a Saturday game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you guys hold on a second. Let me play this real quick. I'll be right back.
Okay.
And just before I had a flat tire, spilled it all over my help was on the way. But when he saw the tattoo in my hand, he shot me with pepper spray. Oh, it's a great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. Bad day. So you better get off my back. You might get cold cock if you cross my path. Cause it's a great day, I'm saying it, you know, for me to whoop somebody's ass. When I finally made it to work, I was 15 minutes late. I told my boss about the flat tire, but he fired me anyway. So here I am out in the parking lot, just waiting by his car, man. I'm gonna give him a goodbye present that he never will forget. I'm saying, great day for me to whoop somebody's ass. It's a bad day, so you better get off my back. You might get cold cock if you cross my path. It's a great
day for me to whoop somebody's ass. Alright. Trying to get nudge from the other side. So what did, hey Eunice, so what exactly did Brownsburger tell you? Is there anything gonna, we got a date or anything yet?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. Now, see, that's why I played that song. They were trying to come in from the other side. But,
what
did Brownsburger give you a date or anything?
No. Well, hopefully it will be done this month, you know. I'll give him a call Thursday, and then I'll know better yet where we're at, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But he said he had to get in touch with the chairperson to bring it back into the Senate. And once the Senate votes on it again, it goes back to the House. And when it comes back from the House, then it goes before the governor's desk, you know.
Okay.
And we'll be called in to sign it. And I'm taking Hermes with me. Mm-hmm. And... you know, he deserves to be there.
Yeah.
Take him with me, and we'll have some pictures taken, and, you know. But you guys will be the first to know, because even if I have to call you.
Yeah.
Off, you know, off day, I'll call you to let you know, you know, so.
Yeah, send me, yeah, call me and leave me a message if I don't answer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I'll make sure I call you after 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. You should be up by then, right?
Yeah, I should be up. Yeah. If I'm not, I'm on the bike and I stop.
Yeah. All right. So I'm kind of getting anxious now. You know, I got to go to my primary care tomorrow. I'm hoping maybe she'll tell me something. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, just don't threaten her with. Don't threaten her with a baseball bat or you're going to kick her ass. Just
No. I won't. I won't.
Yeah, there was a friend of mine. There was a friend of mine at work. His wife, his wife went in for surgery, and I guess they left some kind of a sponge or something. And she got it. She ended up getting fired him from the hospital because he almost choked the shit out of the doctor.
Oh, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think that will happen.
No, but she's all better than everything.
That's good.
Yes.
Well, my husband, we got the plastering all done in the kitchen and in the pantry. And now we got to wait for that to dry. And Paul already did the ceilings. And then we're going to paint, you know, a pale canary yellow and put the centerpiece in. We're going to put hardwood floors in, you know, so.
Why canary yellow?
Well, because that room's kind of dark, so you need something that, not canary yellow, it'll be a pale yellow, you know.
A real pale yellow.
No, because I got, that's the room that I stripped all the white paint off and did a round of jams and brought all the natural wood back.
I thought you were going to say that.
Huh?
I thought you were going to say that's the room you're stripping.
Oh, no, that's kind of stripping. No, that's, well, I probably would have scared the shit out of the walls, you know, if I did strip. But, yeah, really. And my neighbors next door, they would have pulled their shades down.
Yeah.
Because we're kind of, two of the houses are kind of close to each other, just like a driveway between us.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they got teenagers over there, so.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like a Mrs. Jones, so. You're supposed to laugh at that one.
I got it. Or Mrs. Robinson?
Oh, Mrs. Robinson, Mrs. Jones, Mrs. White, whatever, you know.
Yeah. So what's going on in the border of Massachusetts and Rhode Island?
What's going on there? Oh, well, we had flooding here in Worcester today. What's going on between, what are you talking about?
That's where I live, Eunice.
Yeah.
I live right on the state line of Rhode Island and Fall River. Rhode Island and Mass, and between Tiverton and Fall River.
Oh, okay. Did you get very much flooding there today?
Did I what?
Was there any flooding there today?
Flooding? No, not too much.
Well, we got flooding here today, let me tell you. You didn't hear it on the news? Worcester, Mass? Flood,
no.
Flash flood warnings, you know. It was terrible.
Yeah, the weather was touch and go all day. I mean, over where I am, it wasn't too bad. We had little periods of rain showers, but it didn't flood anything, you know. It wasn't too bad. That was further west.
Yeah.
Once the morning June gloom burned off, it was 75 and sunny with a slight breeze off the ocean.
Well, so right now it's 60.
Next weekend I'll be out in the ocean somewhere.
Oh, that's right. You're going on a cruise, right?
No, ma'am. I'm going to Bermuda.
Oh, okay.
I have a childhood friend that lives there, and it's a couple of girls. We're all going down there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're leaving at like 8 o'clock in the morning. We'll be there around noontime, and the rest is going to be history. I hope
all
the
right.
Island's ready for us.
How long are you going to be there for?
A week. 7 days.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
No, don't worry. Don't worry. She said she was going to call in. They were going to call into the show while she was there.
Oh, yep, she got her.
Mm-hmm. We're going to. We'll call in live and say hello.
Well, that's good.
So you guys had bad weather from the storms we had here?
Mm-hmm. Well, in Worcester, we had flash floods. I mean, it rained so hard within an hour that I think we got something like 2 more inches of rain, but the streets were just flooded. Cars were pulled, you know, stalled out. So I was a smart one. I took my daughter home because she's helping us to, you know, do the, when I say heavy duty stuff like the pantry, I bought new shelf paper and stuff like that. So she just, because I can't get up on a ladder, so she got up and took all of it down and washed the shelves. And I took her home, and it was so bad I had to pull into a church, parking lot until it stopped. I couldn't even see out my windshield. That's how bad. So I sat there for about an hour. And I'll tell you, then on the way home, just going underneath the bridges and that in Worcester here, they were totally flooded. I mean, it was like a swimming pool.
Last week, I had to call my homeowner's insurance, file a claim on my roof. But, I mean, the storms have been crazy here. You know, what you guys have gotten, you know, is, you know, mild compared to how it's
well, June has not been hot at all. We've had some real cold nights, you know.
Yeah.
Like right now, I'm sitting with winter pajamas on.
Right.
Hey, I'm sitting in a pair of baggy shorts and a T-shirt.
I'm in shorts and a T-shirt. But, I mean, it's like, I don't know, 60 here right now.
No.
I got the windows open.
And everybody put your thinking caps on.
Why?
What constitutes probable cause?
What constitutes probable cause? You look at the person the wrong way, and that's probable cause, depending on how much of an asshole they are.
Yeah.
Well, even though our founding fathers ensured the people's right against illegal search and seizure, probable cause originates from the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, with the intent to prohibit inappropriate search and seizure by the government. Our founding fathers' experience with British authorities randomly stopping, seizing, and searching individuals without cause gave them motive to guard against it in the new government. Further, no warrant shall be issued without probable cause or support by the courts. General warrants were replaced with documents that stated specific parameters of what is to be searched and where. So the number one definition is where there are grounds for suspecting an individual has committed a crime, there should be probable cause for making a charge against the accused, as defined by the U.S. Constitution's Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by an oath or affirmation, and particularly describing place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. But if I go back here, and I got a story from the, this one's about, this is out of the New York Times, dated, I think it was Sunday. Let me see. Yeah, this is it. Why police lie under oath. They're supposed to be necessarily more trustworthy than alleged criminals, but I don't think so. Not just because police have special inclination towards confabulation, but because, disturbingly, they have an incentive to lie. In this era of mass incarceration, the police shouldn't be trusted any more than any other witness, perhaps less so. It may sound harsh, but newer law enforcement officials have put the matter more bluntly. Just like Bill told you guys last week when he said they're trained to lie.
That's so true.
Yep. This former San Francisco police commissioner, he wrote an article, "Police officer perjury in the court to justify illegal dope searches is commonplace. One of the 30 not-so-little secrets of the criminal justice system is undercover narcotics officers intentionally lying under oath. It's a perversion of the American justice system that strikes directly at the rule of law, yet it is a routine way of doing business in courtrooms everywhere in America." You know, it's like in 2011, I think they dismissed over like 700 drug cases in New York because the seven guys who made the arrest, they were all accused of mishandling the evidence. And what they were doing was they would get one guy and use the evidence from another guy.
Hey, guys, I'll call you back, okay? I just got a call coming in. I'll call you back.
So they have a widespread culture of lying and corruption. You know, and Nora, you know, I got some, I got like 20 questions about can a cop tow your vehicle from your driveway?
Okay.
No, I reprinted it. I reposted it for the 20th.
Okay.
But, I was going to turn on the comments, and then I thought about it. That just turns into too much for me to handle with everything.
Right.
But, there's somebody asked me about probable cause today, and I said, well, let me check it out, and I'll see if I can talk about it later.
Right. Well, like I said, I've been told that, you know, they can come up on the property to check, you know, the tags and stuff. And but for years, I've known that they couldn't, you know, so I don't know. If they can, I find it another useless way to sit there and, you know, waste the taxpayers' money. I mean, I can understand they can see a vehicle if it's on a boulevard. And I say boulevard because with my house being on the main street, I have a boulevard, okay? A village, a part of property. So if a vehicle is parked there, that's open season. That's how I've always known it to be. But if it's on the north side of the sidewalk, that's your property. And for them to come up on your property, where is the cause? I mean, where is the probable cause for them to come and get up on your property? It's not like you're calling them and saying, hey, can you check my tags out, you know what I mean? So
why would you call them to check your
Why
would you call them to check your tags out?
I was being sarcastic. But what I mean is if they are able to do that just to come up on your property and check your tags, I was being sarcastic by saying who would call and say, hey, can you come and check my tags? You know what I mean? But
reasonable suspicion. Probable cause must be present for law enforcement to arrest and prosecute. This does not mean, however, that an officer must have an absolute certainty that a crime has taken place to detain or search your property. While absolute guilt is rarely present, officers can restrain an individual to conduct further investigations. That's if you came out of your porch and asked them what they were doing, and they said, put your hands behind your back, you're under arrest. This conception, the probable cause standard, allows law enforcement to stop and investigate or frisk you based on the officer's experience, training, and unreasonable suspicion. Reasonable suspicion is less than probable cause, but it's enough knowledge to lead reasonably cautious persons to believe the crime has occurred. So basically, if you're walking down the street, Nora, and 6 months ago they arrested you, and they seen you walking around down the street 6 months later, what would be their probable cause to stop you?
Just because they know your history.
There you go.
Well, you know, this is an odd thing. Because, I mean, you know, it was a long time ago, but my brother, when he was alive, was involved in a situation where his car was parked here at my home, okay, but on the other side of the sidewalk, being on my property, not on village property, okay. And they took him in for questioning, and I don't know, about an hour or so later, I hear this beep, 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 you know, because it's a tow truck, a flatbed, rolling up in my driveway with a SWAT car. And not from the town I'm in. It was from a different town, okay? So I went out there. I'm like, what are you doing? They're like, we're going to tow this car. I said, no, you can't. It's on private property. Where is your warrant?
Well, it's like this. They call that plain view.
Right.
Doesn't matter where it's at, as long as they can say, all they got to say is two words, plain view. It's just like...
Well, they didn't do that. They lost.
Stacey, you're driving down 95 up there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you got five people in the car, three in the back, you and a passenger. For some oddball reason, you get pulled over. While he's addressing you, he smells the faint odor of marijuana. Now what happens?
That's probable cause. Everybody out of the car. You know, I mean, it is what it is. What are you going to do? You're on the side of the road, and I mean, 10-1 it's going to be a statey because they're the ones that cruise 95. What are you going to do? If he says everybody out of the car, don't you think everybody's going to roll out of the car? But...
Why?
There's always that chance that, you know, the driver would be a smartass and, like, you know, not want to comply with anything, so...
That's when you remember Bill's favorite two words.
Shut up. That's
how I can do it. See, because in plain view, most states allow an officer or any other person to arrest an individual when they think a felony or an offense against the public peace is committed in their view. The warrant is not necessary as the probable cause would be part of witnessing the act itself. So basically, okay, what's that I smell? As the other side, the bag goes out the window in the back from the back seat. Now what?
Probable cause.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they give me probable cause. But wait. Like Massachusetts and Rhode Island, they've just like passed all the pot laws, et cetera, whatever. And they've put into place, like, you know, it's a fine if you get caught the first time around, it's fine. Second time around. Third time around is probation. You know, they've got all the things in place. So with that being said, you know, and anything under an ounce is technically, you know, squash.
It's like a traffic.
That's what they do. They write you a ticket. They take the stuff and they write you a ticket. So how would that come into play with probable cause? Because if the cop says, you know, yo, I'm smelling pot, and one of the kids says, yo, I just have a joint, yeah. You know, he's giving it to the cop. He's not hiding it, and it's under an ounce, and it's technically not, like, it's illegal, but it's not illegal. It's a catch-22. He's going to get a ticket, but, I mean, that does that trump the probable cause?
Well, okay. Now, he says, yeah, I got a joint from the back seat. You stick your hand back, and you grab it. Now what?
Into a search.
You just became part of the conspiracy for distribution.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Which involves then the search.
Because what if I don't know. I think that
would be crazy. Well, I'm telling you now. If anybody's in the car
with you. Yeah, but I mean, it's crazy. I'm sorry.
If anybody's in the car with you and somebody says, yeah, I got a joint, you better tell them to eat it.
Hey. That's what people did in the 70s.
Yeah.
Eat it. Or give it to the guys would give it to the girls. Put it in your pants. Because they couldn't search a woman.
Well, they do it now.
Yeah.
We got a bull dyke out here that she likes to do that.
But you know what I'm saying. They couldn't search females back then. You know what I mean? They didn't waste the time.
Yeah. All right. What do you think constitutes an illegal arrest?
An illegal arrest?
What
illegal or legal?
Legal.
Legal, as in legal beagle. Legal? That type of legal?
Yeah.
Okay.
What constitutes illegal arrest?
I don't know. I don't think anybody should be arrested, but I guess if you break one of the rules.
All right.
Break a law.
Well, defense to any repercussions for arresting without a warrant is that the officer or individual acted in good faith under prudent and reasonable standards. Now, who determines it was good faith and prudent and reasonable standards?
Well, that's up to them to decide.
Oh, is that where you're going to lose because of his experience and training?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm saying that's where it actually lays, is in their hands. If, you know, however they feel fit, you know, is what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's up to the person if they're going to lay down or if they're going to say, well, excuse me, you know, not be combative, you know, but to sit there and, okay, well, wait a minute. This is what's taking place. I don't know.
Yeah.
I had a cop roll up in my driveway off duty and hit on me. They're not supposed to do that.
So did you file a complaint?
I didn't know you could at the time.
Yeah, you can. You just go on the Chicago PD website or your town's website and download the complaint. We got another caller from 774-289.
Yeah, it's me, brother. How the hell you doing, man? Hermes here.
Hey, what's
Hi,
up,
Hermes.
Man?
Hey, how you guys doing? Who's there? Who's in there?
Well, you missed Stacey. Doing it. She got a call. She ducked out, but she said she was coming back.
Oh, that was me calling on her. Yeah, I'm back in here early enough, and I'm not doing any video editing right now. So I figured, let me jump in here and bother you for a few minutes. How the hell you doing?
Oh, you're not bothering. Good to hear your voice. Now we
Thank
were
you.
Just talking about what constitutes probable cause.
Well, in this day and age, it's just about anything the son of a bitches want to come up with. You know how things are turning in this country. Probable cause is the one thing that I get a kick out of. It seems like every cop in the world now seems to be able to detect a slight odor of marijuana. You know, and that alone.
Hermes, all right, this is Stacy, by the way. And I'm from Massachusetts also, and we just like kind of went into a little conversation about this. With all the new pot laws that have come into like play between Massachusetts and Rhode Island and what constitute as legal and illegal, et cetera, with it being a fine now, if somebody actually was smoking a joint in a car, would it still be probable cause if the person just says, hey, here it is, give me my ticket? Or does that trump that?
Well, what's happening is there's actually a couple of cases where the Massachusetts State Police grabbed some people on 495 where someone was would have had a joint. They actually saw the kid in the back seat smoking a joint, and what they did was, you know, and you're right, there's just a fine now. They can just give you a fine. You can have like an ounce of pot, up to an ounce of pot on you. And then
anything out here in Cali.
But they lugged them all out because, you know, the state police being who the hell they think they are, they lugged them all out of the car, went through the car, locked them all up. I mean, just didn't have to do any of that bullshit. But at the end of the day, what happens is, you know, the kids are looking at, well, Jesus Christ, we're going to have to get lawyers, we're going to have to pay for this, you know, and Jesus Christ. So what they do is they know what they're doing. They're violating people's rights intentionally. Every cop also says
You're you're in the front seat. I'm in the back seat.
Yep.
Baker's sitting next to me. Chuck's on the other side, and Hank's sitting in the passenger seat next to you. Right? You get pulled over on 95.
Yeah.
I say out of the back seat. You say, officer, all I have is one joint.
Yep.
So Hermes, you reach back to grab it from me. I give it to you, and you go to hand it to him. Now he's got you. Now he's got you for distribution.
Well, maybe not here. I don't know what things are like over there in California, but what's going on here is where he could just take the joint. As a matter of fact, what he's supposed to do is just ignore it. It's a joint. He's supposed to ignore it. You can have up to an ounce, all right? But
right.
Because many police officers have the they have that thought process that they are God, and they, you know, and a lot of them just don't like, you know, people that smoke pot, period, and they take that into the job with them. And so they determine They want to be judge and jury at the same time, even though the law says you can have up to an ounce, and it's not, you know, you're not supposed to arrest anybody. There are still police officers feel, and I've heard them say it, you know, I'm going to arrest people anyway because it's still against the law. So what they're doing, they're going against the courts. They're determining, look, I'm the fucking guy that's going to determine the law on the street. And, you know, they're just making it more difficult for people to just look at. Some people have medical conditions. They need pot. Some people just want to get high. Well, you know, what's the problem? I'm not smoking pot these days, but, I mean, so what? I mean, what the hell's the problem? But you get cops to think that, you know, Jesus Christ, it's my duty to go out there and just fuck with people. And if you're smoking pot, you got to be some kind of a really bad person. And that's what... They'll never tell you that, but they'll say, I smelled the faint odor of burnt marijuana, and you can pick up a newspaper or get online, and in Massachusetts, that's a common occurrence. At least once a week, you'll read a story where the cop pulled somebody over, and they get something. I don't know. They get about a week ago in Sturbridge, Massachusetts, on 84, you know, they got lucky. They got like $15,000 in cash, and they got some cocaine. But the excuse to get into the car was, I detected a faint odor of marijuana. And even though it's legal, you know, to smoke a joint, they can still use that to get inside your vehicle, to get inside your personal papers and so forth. So, but, you know, in Massachusetts, I mean, they're pretty lousy about a lot of things, but I've never heard anybody being charged for handing something from someone to the cop. I mean, you know, if it was on the street and they were under surveillance and somebody handed someone a joint or a package and it went to the next hand, yeah, I can see where they, you know, can give you a hard time and hit you with the charge. But,
well, you know, it's just like with the state photo ID databases. They're, you know, they're becoming trolls for the police.
Yeah.
Because basically there's like 120 million people are in searchable photo databases that they assembled through all the states, all 50 states, to prevent driver's license fraud. But the flip side on that is all the police departments are using it to identify suspects, accomplices, anybody you've ever talked to, and innocent bystanders in a wide range. All their criminal investigations.
Yeah, you know, but see, now in the state of Illinois, you have to go through the police department to get an ID for the carry and conceal. So then that gives them another option here in this state to look further in the people.
Well, I don't know, man. You know, for somebody that's supposed to have the strictest gun laws in the nation, 9 people got murdered last weekend and 23 people got shot.
Yeah, I know. But see, now, because since Illinois passed the carry and conceal, now Chicago cannot go to ban the assault weapons because it was overridden with the carry and conceal.
Well, that's just like in California. They stopped open carry, and they banned that, but they missed carrying a shotgun or a rifle. So everybody was walking around with a shotgun or a rifle.
Well, they didn't miss that.
Yeah.
They're coming back to that. They didn't miss a goddamn thing. They're coming back because they want all the weapons. What'd you say your name was, young lady from Massachusetts?
Stacy Herman.
Oh, Stacy. Okay. Here's what's going on in the nation. I'm sure you all know that that just recently the Supreme Court made it possible for police officers to now take a swab of your DNA from your mouth when they stop you, if they feel inclined to. In Kentucky, they actually started setting up roadblocks like DUI checkpoints.
Alabama just did one over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
There you go. So, I mean, this is something that's, you know, and what's happening is just because 9 douchebags in black robes say that the cops can do that doesn't mean it's right. It doesn't mean that, you know, people have to really like let them do that. Just for all the listeners that are out there listening, you know, if you don't know what's going on in Brazil today, you need to pay attention to what's happening in Brazil. Over 200,000 people took to the streets
They stormed the Capitol, didn't they?
They stormed the Congress, the building where the Congress holds their meetings. They stormed the Congress. And, well, I can tell you this. While people can sit back in the safety of a guarded room and make all these laws to fuck with the little people or the regular people, whatever they call us these days, I can tell you this, that when the people have had enough and they start doing things like that, I don't give a shit what they have on their side. They're no match for that kind. But the numbers alone, if you just allow me a minute here, my friend Philip, the numbers alone, in America, we supposedly have somewhere between 310 and 315 million people. Okay, that's a lot of goddamn anythings, right? And let us say that and in Congress and the Senate, we have like 535, 45, whatever it is, people running the show there, throw a sprinkling in of Muslims in at the White House, and then you have the armed forces. And you got under 2.5 million people in the armed forces. Now, I got to tell you, no matter how you slice that pie, if you got half of the 315 million people to finally say, you know what, we've had enough of this fucking shit. Now, there's no stopping it. So, but, you know, why does it have to come to that? You know, and the reasons why, because civil war, you know, we've had it in this country before, and it's happening all over the world, is because the people that are in charge, the people that are in control, they just think they can do whatever they want to people. And then, you know, people are not going to react. And I did a show this morning where I talked about that movie Gangs of New York. If you're familiar with the movie, you know, then you know how that ends up. I mean, it ends up historically the same way for the people that think that they're in control and they have full power over the people. At the end, I mean, you know, they always get what the fuck they got coming to them. So, you know, I just don't understand it. It's up to the people to stand firm on, listen, no, you're not going to swab my mouth. I didn't do anything wrong. If I'm under arrest and I'm a suspect in a murder or something like that, hey, you know, different story. But just because I'm driving down the road, no, that ain't happening. You know, that just simply isn't going to happen. Of course, they can take you and beat you and all of that. But you know what? If that's the price you got to pay, then that's the price you got to pay. And you turn around. And, you know, if you have enough people standing firm, there's nothing they can do. The problem is everybody in the country.
They're bending over once, they're going to bend over twice.
Well, they're too busy watching Dancing with the Stars and all that other bullshit to pay attention to what's going on.
Yeah. That goes to my friend there, you know. The guy I always that guy I play from that movie.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
No.
You know, that movie was made in the 70s and that what that guy said still rings true today.
Yeah. And it's just what, you know, like you said, Philip, I don't know how many times you've said it, you know, it's something to the effect that, you know, whatever you tolerate is what they'll give you. It's something to that effect, you know.
Well, you deserve what you tolerate.
There you go. That's what it is. And you know, surprisingly so, in Massachusetts, with the history of, you know, being the place where the Civil War kicked off. I mean, where they had the Boston Tea Party and they overthrew a government in a sense because they wanted to get rid of the British rule. And I mean, it's such a historic place, and to have the things that are going on now, these laws that are going on now, and the abuses by police against the people. I mean, and the people tolerating that? I mean, that's insane. This is insane that people tolerate this stuff. It's just incredibly insane. And this is why they get away with it. I mean, it's only because the people tolerate it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
'60s, there was riots and stuff, right?
I was a kid in '68 sitting on my front porch with a bow and arrow.
Well, you know, I didn't think it was such a good thing. I was in New York City visiting I used to go to New York City quite a bit. My family, I was born in New York City, originally from there. And when the riots were going off, I was actually taking a subway to go visit my grandfather. And, I mean, of course, the cops back then, to me, I was like 12 years old. They were monstrous guys, and they had dogs, and they were, you know, they had these vicious dogs were barking at people, trying to get at people and stuff. And they were, it was just an incredible scene, and people smashing stuff, and people, I mean, it was insane. But you know what? That changed shit. People got, you know, whatever they were fucking fed up with, it changed. I mean, for many, many years, one of the biggest concerns with the local government and federal government is, Jesus Christ, don't get the blacks and the Hispanics riled up, because not too many whites were doing the bashing. Thank God for the black folk in this country, because we'd have been fucked 30 years, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, you know, if it wasn't for them taking to the streets. Remember the Watts riots and all the ones across the country. We've lost that because, you know, it's my belief that the government figured out how to get to those people, the people that are unemployed and the people that need food. We'll just give them food stamps. We'll give them welfare. We'll give them free medical. That'll shut them up. If they get a little rowdy, we'll tell them, yo, we'll cut all that shit off, and that's that.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they do.
Yeah.
That's exactly now, what
Stacey,
they
do. Stacey, whereabouts in the state do you live?
I'm sitting right on the state line between Fall River, Mass. And Tiverton, Rhode Island.
Okay, yeah. That's a nice area down there.
Yeah, not too shabby. I mean, Fall River's getting a little bit trashy, though, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's getting a little bit out of control, but other than that, you know, the other surrounding towns, they're all nice towns.
Yeah, no, I know the area. I know the area fairly well. You got a state senator that comes from that area, Montigny. You familiar with him?
Tigley, is that what you said?
Montigny.
Oh, no, I'm not familiar with him.
Well, you know, there's a guy that he's a very powerful guy at the State House. He has been for a few years. Very sharp guy. You know, and a guy that does listen to people. I mean, you know, he's a politician, but I'll tell you something, honestly, I've dealt with a lot of people at the State House, and he seems to really care about his constituency down there, and he's, I mean, for what it's worth. I mean, so if you have any really, you know, you got any beefs that you don't think you're getting anywhere with, you know, check him out, contact his office, you know.
All right, cool.
That is still, you know, like, still thinking about people's rights and stuff. There's only a few of them left. He's one of them.
Yeah, and probably the first question they're going to ask you is like they used to ask in Chicago, how many people live in a house and do they vote?
Well, you know what? He's so shocked that when you make the call, okay, and he's going to get back to you because he's not generally not in his office. He's busy. He's assigned to several different committees and stuff. I mean, he's plugged in very well up there, and he's busy. But you leave your name, and they'll get back to you. But the first order of business is that after you leave your name, or anybody leaves their name, is they check and see if they're on the voter list. They check and see where they, you know, where they're at. They got all that. Before he gets back to you, he knows it all on you anyway. And you don't have to be someone that votes. This is what I like about people like him, politicians like him. He still has, I think he's on that cusp where, I think right around that time where all the politicians now look out for themselves, and unless you're voting for them and giving them checks, they really don't have any use for you. He's one of those that'll do it because of the district, and he's smart enough to know that if you help someone, whether they're voting or not, they tell other people.
Exactly.
You know,
there you go.
Yeah. I'm doing it right now.
I got one for you. I got one for you. Listen to this one. I won't back up, and I won't back down. Is I've been raised to stand my fucking ground.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Now, we just need to get the rest of the people in this country to do that. Because, and you know what? People get nervous when I speak like that. It doesn't necessarily mean you got to run out and get bazookas and stuff like that. That's not what I'm talking about. In the end, if those that are trying to be our masters insist upon that, then that shit happens. I mean, you know, that happens. It's happened over the course of history. It's happening in different parts of the world right now as we speak.
Well, that's because the system continues to control you because you voluntarily play by their rules. So stop playing by their rules.
Right. Right. And you know what? And that's it in a nutshell. Many people, though, get nervous when they hear talk like that. They think that because if you're speaking about the wrongs that are being laid at the feet of the taxpayers and free people of the world, and I'm speaking specifically about America because that's where we're living, people get nervous and they don't want to hear that. And those people are the ones that really need to pay attention, and because there's a lot to be nervous about, and it's not us talking about this. It's about what's going on. It's about how we're losing all our rights. It's about, the people that are taking over this country, how we're being told that we can't use the First Amendment anymore. Second Amendment and Fourth Amendment are going to be taken away from us all. But yet people from different countries can come over here, and they automatically get First Amendment rights, and they get to tell us to shut up.
Like when Abraham Lincoln said, those who deny freedom to others deserve it not for themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, what do you make? I want both of your opinion on this. What do you make of this? It has been said by Obama and those in his administration that the Constitution of the United States is an old document. It's outdated. It needs to be updated. And they've got the way to update it, which means if you've been paying attention to him at all, just fucking do away with it. What do you think about that statement?
Well, my intuition is a built-in bullshit detector.
Well, I hear you, but how about Stacey? What do you make of that statement?
I don't particularly care for that statement at all. The Constitution is pretty much what this country was founded on, and you're either going to use it or you're not. And if you're not, then you need to make that public knowledge. But, I mean, while it's still in place, you need to use it, and you need to stop tiptoeing around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, no, and I hear you, Hermes. And it never ceases to amaze me that these fuckers can twist, dissect to fit their agenda.
It's just like the damn Patriot Act. Look at that. I mean, that whole thing is just, it's like they could twist it and bend it and add to it to make it, fit their basic need. And I don't know. The scary part about that right there is that, a bunch of people right in this country were on board with it back 10 plus years ago when it was first, coming
into play. Yeah, because they jumped on the fear-mongering.
Right, they thought that it would be better for us as a country to have that type of intelligence, whatever, blah, blah.
Well, somebody asked me the other day what I thought help from above meant, and I said a sniper on the roof.
But, the thing is
that I look at it and it shows the ignorance of many people in this country, because they don't take the time out to stop and really evaluate something before they jump on the bandwagon and go with it wherever anybody else is going. And I think that's how that whole thing, got out of control.
You're right. That's the thing. The thing is, here's the thing. They at that time, President Bush said we're going to have this. We're going to get the Patriot Act in. So, right around that time is at that time the country is dumbfounded. We've been attacked supposedly by outside interests. Hopefully, everybody knows by now that was an inside job. Hopefully, people have woken up at least that fucking much. But the thing is that people then are feeling like, oh my God, we got attacked. We got to get these bastards. Look what they did. And then along comes the devil and says, hey, we're going to do this Patriot Act for the Patriots. And we're going to go over here and we're going to do this for them. And we're going to make sure there's no more terrorism on our goddamn soil. And people are like, yeah. People really wanted what they were selling them, because what they were selling them and what we got in turn are not the same thing. Nobody took the time to say what's in that. Do we really want that? Nobody took the time. Everybody at the time, the country was so engulfed in let's get even, let's get these bastards. you know, and they pin it on a guy that didn't do it. I mean, if you really paid attention and read the papers that were coming out and read the reports that have come out and the investigations that have come out, you know, Osama bin Laden did that. If he did it, I was there with him. Let's put it that way. And I wasn't even there. So, but people didn't look at that. They couldn't even think of something like that at the time. So they bought into it. Well, the Patriot Act was designed specifically to curtail the rights of all Americans, not fucking Muslim terrorists. Americans.
No.
Right?
It's just like I told you. They're into the sixth month now of training three battalions out here, military police, Marine military policemen.
Yeah.
Three battalions.
Yeah.
2,700 guys loose when they train them.
You know, and here's the other thing. Department of Homeland Security and the IRS. The IRS are training their – IRS agents have been equipped with automatic weapons, and they're training at firing ranges. The Department of Homeland Security is training what they call with targets that they refer to the targets as no hesitation targets. Do not hesitate. The targets are children.
Yeah.
I hope everybody heard what I said because that's a fact, okay? It's verifiable. It's a fact. The Department of Homeland Security doesn't even deny the fact. What they're doing is they're training their personnel to shoot no matter who it is, children or not. Tell them. When you get the order, when you receive the order, you're supposed to just kill, right? And that's a fact. That's going on right now, that kind of training. I don't understand why IRS agents need to be trained with, M15s for whatever the hell they're training with.
I don't know why the IRS bought 40 million rounds of 40 caliber. I don't know why Social Security bought 320 million rounds of 40 caliber.
Well, and the Department of Homeland Security has bought over a billion. $1 billion.
Yeah, the last one they bought was 720 million.
So why do they need this? Well, you know, I don't know, but I suspect that they know what they're – I'm not saying they know what they're doing. They really know what they're doing. But there's a plan. The plan is to have a civil war. And it's not
mm-hmm.
the people that are in the civil war. It's our
no.
government in the civil war. And people need to wake up. I mean, you know, the issues that are prevalent in our society today run much, much deeper than, you know, being stopped at a roadside, even for a cotton swab. I mean, think about that. Cotton swab, and automatically they have your DNA.
With Obamacare, you're going to end up getting a chip, whether you like it or not.
Well, you know, that's another thing that they is included in the Obama health care bill, buried in there. But the way it's written is that the chip is you can argue that because they discuss now hidden. I can see where they may be putting it in people's wrists, like they say, but the chip is actually going to be in your card. You're going to have a an ID, like a national ID card, which will be used for everything. And the chip will be inside that card with all your information on it.
Hermes, I carry four of those cards, my government ID, my
yep.
company ID. My company
yep.
just made everybody go get a new badge three
yep.
weeks ago, a brand
yep.
new one. It has a chip in it to tell them where you're at in the yard.
Yeah, or where you're at any time. Well, what's coming down the pike, and it's coming rapidly, is all those four cards you carry, they're going to do away with those. You're going to have one. Everybody's going to have one card, all right? And that'll serve as everything for banking and everything, all right? Don't know if you're familiar with what happened yesterday. It's still breaking with McDonald's Corporation, where McDonald's Corporation took and made a deal with Bank of America, and they put all their payroll, all
yep.
their employees' payrolls into Bank of America. Now people say, "Well, what's the big deal?" Well, it's a big deal. First of all, they didn't ask any of the employees if they wanted to bank with Bank of America. And secondly, Make America has automatic charges. So if the employee wants to access his or her money, it's a dollar every time they access it. It's a dollar to check your balance, and it's like $2.50 a month, a regular fee every month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody asked the employees if they wanted that. They just did it.
Right.
So automatically they're starting to shift people's money into areas where they're going to control everything, all right? They're going to control everything. That's one of the reasons, if you have any money, and I don't mean like you have to be rich, get in the line to buy gold. Get in the lines. The lines are long. Get in the lines to buy gold, because what's happening with the American dollar is phenomenal. It's skydiving. The American dollar today is worth about 38 cents, and within a year it'll be worth maybe 7 or 8 cents. So that means that if you buy an item that costs $100, within a year, 18 months tops, within 18 months, if that item is a $100 item, you're going to need like a fucking wheelbarrow of $100 bills to buy that item, because the dollar is going to be worth like 8, 9 cents, 10 cents. And it's incredible. And they're doing that purposely. Look, Barack Obama's in Ireland right now attending the G8 summit. They've already announced today that the Europe, the EU, and America have already agreed to a partnership in trade, international trade agreements. They're gonna run like the same economy back and forth. They're gonna run the same economy. They're going after the dollar.
Yep.
If people are paying attention out there, you've heard of the Bilderberg Group, and if you haven't, well, you know, Google Bilderberg. Okay, for years, since 1954, they said they didn't exist. Right. A couple of weeks ago, they had their annual meeting, and these people are the richest people in the world on this planet and the most influential. That's a fact.
Yep.
They engineered the euro back 20-some years ago. They started talking about engineering the euro. They took the Europe economy, and they took all the money. The Italians had their own money, and France had their own money, and everybody had their own money. They made it one uniformity, the euro. And look what they did with the euro. They crashed it. People are fucking starving over there. That's what they're going to do with America, the same group. And they're all into banking. You know this, Phil. I think you know this. They're all into the banking, and they're government officials at the highest levels. And this is what they have planned for America. And they're doing it. You know, they're doing it. And people are like just too fucking busy watching Dancing with the Stars or some fucking thing. The Voice. I don't know what it's incredible.
You know what, Hermes? Let me play this real quick. But this guy here, he tells it like it is. And this is a true story, because everybody that grew up in the United States as a kid was told about this.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucked. And it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork, and just dumb enough to passively accept all all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, it doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Can't say it any better than that.
George Carlin, he's awesome, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true. You know, it's true. So, you know, Philip, I thank you for taking the call, and I'm sorry I rambled on for so long, but...
Don't worry about it. You're welcome. Hey. My
cousin. And I'm sorry, young lady, to cut in on your time. You were talking with my friend Philip, young lady from Massachusetts there. You know, it's just that people need to carry the message out there and spread the message and help wake people up. There's just way too much going on. We have way too much to lose.
Even housewives are getting mad. Listen to this one.
What are you
about,
Lena?
You know?
What's wrong, Daddy?
I know what's wrong with that crazy motherfucker. He just stand by the goddamn window with that fucking AK all day.
Yo, Philip, you touched on something. Are you still with us, Stacy? Is she still there?
Yeah, she should be there.
Okay. Well, March Against Monsanto happened March 25th. Now, that's an interesting thing because you know how that started. It was a woman, a mother of two younger children, that was upset with the amount of GMOs that are in the food, which is genetically modified organisms, and they're cancer-causing products that they're chemicals put out by Monsanto, which is a chemical company, and they're destroying the food supply in the world. And the mother said, you know, she was living in California, and she was working to try and get that Proposition 37 passed, and it failed. It didn't get through. I don't know how the hell that didn't get through, especially in California. But she moved over to, I guess, Iowa or whatever, and she kind of was thinking, like, what do I do now? Like, Jesus Christ, holy shit, I mean, what do I do? And she decided, you know what she did? She said, you know what? I'm just going to march.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go on a long walk against Monsanto.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and put it on her Facebook page, and then next thing you know, people started spreading the word, and you know, came the day of the march. Over 2 million people worldwide, in over 400 cities, marched on Monsanto against Monsanto.
Right.
So, you know, the mothers are waking up. The mothers are getting pissed off, and you know what? We all have mothers. Not very many of us want to piss off our mothers, right? And when the mothers are pissed off, and you're worried about your children, that's when shit's going to get done. And it started getting done there. So, you know, the other thing is, Philip, I want you to join me on this. On July 24th, they have what is called, is being promoted now as, let's see, it's video Monsanto, they give you Monsanto Revolt Day. Okay, and
mm-hmm.
that's
Everybody, they're asking everybody to do a short video, whether it's a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, or whatever, about Monsanto and why you think that company should be closed down, all right? And there's enough out there on that company. And they're asking for people to upload it to YouTube and Vimeo and all the other websites, not just YouTube, because YouTube might turn around and censor it because, you know, we know that YouTube is with the government. But,
right.
And also naturalnews.com/TV and upload it to there. I mean, there's no competition. Nobody's going to win anything. But here's the deal. That young lady inspired over 2 million people to march. So now Monsanto, as a result of that march in Europe, backed away from their plans to try to continue to get GMOs into their crops. They actually walked away from it. They said, oh, fuck this. This is a losing battle. So people can win these things, all right? So the video project, maybe if 2 million people march, there may be 2 to 3, 4 million videos put up then.
Right.
And we have to take a stand for our children, for our grandchildren, for the people that are going to come and inhabit this earth, this country, after we're gone, you know, because things are not looking very well. So it'd be nice. I'll send you an email and touch
okay.
base with you on that. I'm going to do that myself, too.
Okay. Yeah, Stacy's back. Stacy's back. She's,
I'm back.
well, you missed it. Hermes, Hermes apologized to you for stepping on your conversation.
No, man, that's cool. That's cool. Talk away. It's all good.
Anyway, you just, you know, everybody out there that listens to your show, I'd appreciate them trying to, you know, just check out that video, Monsanto Video Revolt, and try to put up a small video that day, whether it's on YouTube or it doesn't have to be professional either. It can be on a regular phone, iPhone, any kind of, like, people have cameras on their screen.
You know, I'm going to be in July 13th, well, actually the weekend of the 12th through the 15th, I'm going to be in Mexico with about 6 or 7,000 bikers. And I'm going to see if I can make a short video. And if they're all drunk enough, I'm going to see if I can get them all to holler, fuck Monsanto.
Fuck Monsanto, and you know what? Have a, you know, couple of handmade signs. Just they don't even have to say nothing. Just hold up the sign saying "fuck Monsanto." You know,
mm-hmm.
And that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. So
yeah, there's nothing like tequila, boobs, in Mexico. Trust me.
No, I'll trust you on that one. I'll trust you on that one.
Yeah, Eunice joined us.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey.
Hey. I took a little nap after I talked to you, Hermes.
Well, you must be getting old.
Oh, I am. I am. I'm getting old. But tell the guys how great I look.
How great you look?
Yeah, yeah. Do I look good?
I don't know. You don't look too good to me.
Jesus. Oh, that's good. I hope you choke on your meal.
See, she told us that you guys had what was it, breakfast or lunch? So I guess she thought lunch. The bribe was already in.
Yeah, I figured it was. Yeah, we had a nice luncheon, huh?
Oh yeah, very nice.
Yeah, even though Peter held us up for 40 minutes before he got there.
That's all right. The guy's a very busy guy, you know. Not everybody's got a maid like you, Eunice. You come and go as you please, you know.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah,
you know,
of course I do. Yes.
How many people have it as good as you, you know?
Well, you know, if I was healthy, it would be better.
Healthy? You look healthy to me. You still get around.
Oh, yeah. And then I got to come home and take a nap. Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
when did
well,
you ever see me take a nap?
That happens when you get old, lady. You know what I'm talking about?
You know, I got a saying, and it goes like this. And to those of you who did nothing, you are welcome to enjoy the freedoms that others have provided for you.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Well,
You know something, Philip? I don't sit around and do nothing.
I didn't say you did.
I create problems.
She took that.
Good problems.
Besides that, she's not only sensitive,
paranoid.
She's also paranoid.
Girls, you're gonna let him talk about me that way.
Hey, what happened? Stacy, still there?
Yep, I'm still here. I'm still here.
Look, come you're not defending the other woman there, Stacy.
How come I what?
Why aren't you defending the other woman there?
You know what? I've learned over the years that Eunice, she can put you men down. I'm not worried about Eunice. She can take care of herself.
Thank you, my darling.
You're welcome, honey.
And you didn't have to buy her lunch.
That? But you want to know something? I wouldn't do it on the air. I'll get you later.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Hermes, I got to make a phone call tomorrow.
Make that call early as you can, will you?
Yeah, I will.
Listen, I'm going to run out of here. Philip,
okay.
I want to thank you for giving me the time to sit and chit-chat with you for a little bit. And Stacy, I apologize for jumping in all over your conversation.
No, that's fine, man. That's all good.
You know, and Eunice, don't worry about it. The hell with you, Eunice. No, I'm only kidding.
Yeah, the hell with you, too.
He's going to beat your ass.
Hey, Philip, I love you, brother. You keep being a fan, and I'll talk to you again real soon, brother.
Hey, man. Good night.
Bye. Good night, Hermes. Good
night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey, where's Laura?
Well, listen.
I'm here.
Oh, all right. You quiet.
There's no reason to talk.
Well, what can I tell you, guys? I love him dearly.
Yeah.
Well,
no, he's a good
I'm
guy.
Gonna cut it. Yeah, I'm gonna cut it short myself. I've got to take a needle, you know, and I got a doctor's appointment early tomorrow morning, so I want to be a little bit rested.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
Huh?
Yeah, good luck. Good luck with that.
Oh, thanks a lot, guys.
Okay.
You know, like I said, I'll keep you in touch. Like I said, I'll know more Friday, so. But right now, I'm kind of bummed out, you know. And I just want to get some rest. I'll try to get some rest. Let me put it that way.
Okay. You know, I want you to take care and let me know what the doctor says.
I will.
Okay.
I promise you guys.
Okay.
Take it easy, guys. Sleep tight.
Good night,
Keep me in your prayers. Yeah. Keep me in your prayers. Good night, guys.
Good night. Hey, Stacy. You know about the mayhem, right?
Yeah, man, I've gone to several mayhem festivals, and Nora had shot me a message the other day about Attica 7 being over here for mayhem, and the problem is that I don't know if it's an age factor with me at this point, but mayhem, there's a lot of people there. They've got like two stages going, one out in the parking lot, then you got the main stage. There's just a lot going on, and the problem is that normally Godsmack or Disturbed or some big headlining bands that I like are there, and I'll put up with all that bullshit, but they're not there this time around, so, yeah,
you know,
for me to go.
They're going to be in Mansfield, Mass.
That's Mansfield, Mass. That's at the Comcast Center. That's where I go for all my concerts.
Yeah,
but,
they're going to be here, too, in my state.
Yeah, but I won't be there.
Okay, and then Nora, they're going to be in Tinley Park over there.
Yeah,
July
I know. 20th. That's not far from me at all. It's about 8 minutes south of my house.
Yeah.
But I can't get there, so yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, Stacy.
Nora, are you sick?
No, I had a sneezing fit. So I had to keep moving the phone because I didn't want to sit there and be rude while everybody was talking and, you know, have a sneezing fit. I normally get them in the morning. Why I got it, you know, tonight was just crazy.
Well, Bill and I talked to, I talked to Bill. Bill talked to one of the gentlemen that's going to be on the stage with Rusty doing security. So
yeah.
if you're in the area, Stacy, let me know if you're going to go, and I'll tell you who to look for and who to talk to.
Oh, you're going to make this hard for me, aren't you?
I'll tell you. You can get pictures right next to him. Hello?
Well, you know, I usually do big gigs like this, but, you know, my mom and everything else.
Oh, come on. You're just going straight to see them, and then poof, you're gone.
But the problem with Mayhem is you get there at, like, 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you don't get home till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And it's nonstop madness, and it's like I can't be going that long no more from here.
Well, I'll get a feeler out there for the itinerary, and we'll see what we can do.
All right, cool.
I'll tell you, I wish I could, because I would be on that shit like nobody's business.
Yeah, but you know what the thing is that I have a 12-year-old son and I have a 70-year-old mother. That I have to, if I'm going to be gone for like anywhere from 12 to 15 hours, which that's what that means when you go to Mayhem.
Let me explain something to you. If you just want to go to see those guys and you want to just stay there long enough to do that, get a couple of pictures and leave, we can arrange that also. Because if this person that's going to be doing security, the people from that area that we know, we'll be there too.
All right, let me see what I can do about possibly having somebody to be here, and I'll get back to you on that.
It's going to be July 16th, which would be a Tuesday. It'll be a Tuesday. You might even do a live.
It's like the week after I get back from Bermuda.
Yeah. Yeah, if things work right, you could do a live call-in.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to call you guys from Bermuda. We all are. It's going to, you know, me, Flea, and my friend Nancy. You guys have never spoke to Nancy, but you spoke to Flea, and you know how she's as crazy as I am. So it'll be an interesting conversation with having, you know, three women down there. Talking to you.
Yeah,
guys.
When I was showing Bill the calendar, he asked me about you guys if you were anywhere near where they were going to be. Because they're also going to Canada.
Yeah,
they're going to where?
Canada.
Oh. Canada's okay. It's not one of my favorite places to go, I'm sorry, you know. Maybe I just haven't found the right spot yet. But
yeah.
It's all right. It's all right.
But no, Bill. Bill asked me if they were going to play anywhere near you guys, and I said, "Yeah," because where you're at, Nora, it's about 10 or 15 minutes. And Stacey,
no, it's 8 minutes exact.
Well,
from my house
right.
to there, it's 8 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I could have them here for dinner.
Mansfield for me is about 45 minutes. It's a hike up the highway. It's over there next to where Foxborough is. It's next to where Gillette Stadium is, my friends.
Right.
It's good stuff.
I'm looking at the map right now, right? The same thing, Nora, I don't know. If they got to be in Michigan the next night, I don't know if they go for dinner. But we'll see what we can work out. Bill and I will work our best.
Freaking wicked awesome.
Get out the shoppy and have them sign the pants. There you go.
Because I have them. I have two pairs left. I do. I was supposed to give them to somebody, and, well, we're not talking anymore, so, well, who on him, but, hey, you know, yeah. Oh, my God, he could sign them.
I just said break out the copy.
But wait a minute. He could sign them both. I could send one to you and keep one.
Oh.
Then you'd have a pair of signed pants.
Or, Or if things don't work out, you could send her the pants and she can get them signed for you.
Yeah.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh, my God, man. Me at Mayhem, that's bad. Bad. Because I usually go with my best friend, and, like, it's usually what it is in July. It's usually, like, 105 degrees under the Palladium. It's about 120 degrees, and you've been drinking $15 margaritas all day long. By the time the headliners hit the main stage, yeah, you're done. Between the sun and the alcohol, it's all done. So, I don't know. Mayhem's
yeah.
a long day. It's a long day.
We're gonna
fun, but it's a long day.
Yeah, and they're gonna have Five Finger Death Punch there too.
Holy crap! Yeah, I've seen Five Finger Death Punch like 4 times. And
are they good?
Yeah,
I mean, I love their music.
Yeah, each time I've seen them perform, they get a little bit better and a little bit better. They're very good live. They're a good show band too. But I'll tell you what, the person you want to go see, if you ever get a chance to see a person perform, that would be Rob Zombie. Believe it or not, Rob Zombie, I think it must be because he directs all them horror movies. You know,
right.
His mind.
I think
is
he's with the tour.
Yeah, well,
memory serves me right.
He is. He's also a good friend of Rusty's.
Wow,
really?
That's cool because. His stage show for every time he goes on concert is un-freaking believable. It is off the hook. You know, if you get a chance to go see Zombie live, or, you know, you get invited because he's like, I don't know, the third band in, whatever, if you've never seen him, go see this man perform. Because, yeah, it's quite the show. Quite the show. He's awesome.
When we were
awesome.
When I was in Vegas last year, Rusty played at, I want to say Caesars, and I think they opened up for Zombie.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I mean, last time I seen Rob Zombie was like 5 years ago when it was at a Godsmack festival, and they were one of the headlining bands. And I mean, between the lasers and the monster costumes he had set up on stage and different things that were going on, it like all of us, it blew our minds. We were like, wow, yeah, very, very good stage show. He's all about presentation, and boy, does he present it.
Yeah, I just and I sent Frank Falangi Rusty's itinerary because they're gonna be in Saratoga Springs. He said that's 20 minutes from where he's at, so he's all excited.
Wow.
So I'm working on the interaction for that one too, but I can tell you exactly what you need to do, Stacy. You know that Kennedy shirt you got?
Yeah.
All you gotta do is wear that shirt and look for the guy.
Oh yeah,
I tell you.
I've had a couple of people, like, you know, I'll be out and about wearing a couple of people, and they're like, you know, who do you know out there? And I'm like, it's really none of your business, but because it says California on it, you know? And this
Yeah.
I've had people look at mine. Ugh.
Yeah. Because I wear it a lot.
That's because that's a well-respected name in the motorcycle community.
Well, over here, the Kennedys is a name that you, like, as soon as you see something with the name Kennedy on it, you always, like, double glance. So
yeah.
It's like, you know, the Kennedy thing and then the California thing, and they're like, huh? So I ain't worried about it then.
Yeah, no, but like I said, that guy, I'll tell you a story about him off air. But the guy I'm going to tell you to meet is a real good guy.
Cool.
He was also a SEAL.
He was a what?
SEAL, Navy SEAL.
A SEAL.
Oh, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. All of us have some kind of background in that way of life. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take us out with a little Mike P, I Am the Darkness, and we'll see you guys Thursday. But I want to thank everybody for listening, everybody hanging out, and it was a good show. And kudos to Hermes. You can catch him at Hermes Live on Wednesdays, Friday mornings, Sunday mornings. Usually when you go to his thing, you can pull it up. He does different days depending on the schedule, but he's usually on Wednesdays. He was going to do a Tuesday show, but he didn't do it because I'm on Tuesdays.
Wow, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to let Mike P. take us out with Eye in the Darkness, and I'll talk to everybody Thursday.
All right.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Good night.